Praise the Lord. God is good, isn't he? You know, about 3 weeks ago or so, I started a series called Financial Fitness. Now, I'm going to quickly run over the main points of those first three in order to catch everybody up. The first lesson consisted of a biblical foundation for finances, the first biblical truth you need to know about money is to establish a big biblical foundation for finances. Secondly, the truth you need to know is the truth about money, that God wants you to have it. And then thirdly, the third biblical truth you need to know about money is that faith and wisdom are both necessary in dealing with finances. Now, the second lesson was right and wrong thinking for finances. You know, you're thinking about finances is your financial thermostat, so to speak. Your financial thermostat or your thinking will determine the faith you have to obtain your finances. And then thirdly, your financial thermostat or your thinking will determine the wisdom you use to manage your finances. And the third lesson was giving your way to a better living. God designed giving as a way into abundant life. And then secondly, develop a plan for giving or distributing a portion of your increase. And then thirdly, identify avenues that you can distribute or give in so that you get the increase from God. And then number four, purpose in your heart to be a vessel for God's blessings to flow through. Now, this last lesson is called Walking in the Blessings of God. You know, I have noticed that there is a big difference in knowing something and walking in what you know. You know, for example, you know, you all know that one of my grandsons drives race cars. It's one thing to watch him race that race car and to know about setting up that race car and getting it ready. And actually, there's a saying among the racing community, races are won in the shop, not on the track. And that means taking care of the car, setting it up, and so forth. You can know all that, but I'm going to tell you what, it's an entirely different thing to get in that race car and get behind that wheel and go out on the track. How many understand what I'm saying to you? Y'all understand that? You know, you may know about giving. You may know about finances, but it's another thing to do it and be involved with it. Now, 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." Now, we see here that God, he wants us to have blessing. He wants us to walk in the blessing, his blessings in every area of our lives. He says so right here, "That you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." Now, I quoted this earlier from John Wesley. This was his philosophy of walking in the blessings of God. And he said it this way: "I get all I can, I save all I can, and I give all I can." That was his philosophy for walking in the blessings of God. Now, I want to talk about three areas today that will help you to walk in the blessings of God. To walk in the blessings of God, you must possess the harvest that God has for you. Now, Mark chapter 4, verse number 26. And I'm going to read this from the New King James and also from the Message translation. All right, Mark 4, 26. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. and should sleep by night, rise by day, and then the seed should sprout, grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields a crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Now the message says it like this. Then Jesus said, God's kingdom is like seed thrown on a field by a man, who then goes to bed and forgets about it. The seed sprouts and grows. He has no idea how it happens. The earth does all without his help. First a green stem of grass, then the bud, then the ripened grain. When the grain is fully formed, he reaps harvest time. Now, this verse is showing us the principles of reaping or possessing the harvest that God has for us. And this includes finances. Okay? Now, not only do we need to believe God for seed to sow, but we should also believe God to reap the harvest. Notice who it was that reaped the harvest. It says here, the man put the sickle. Or in other words, he went out and he cut the grain or harvested. In this day and age, we would say that they took the combine and they went through the field and harvested. You know, back then they had a hand, they did it by hand, whether they call it a sickle. Anybody ever seen one of those? Few of us have. You know, God brings the harvest, but you must possess it by faith. Now, I want to use a threefold, I believe, biblical strategy for your harvest. But this only works for givers. All right? Claim the amount you need your harvest, in other words. And don't pray about it, but to continue to stand in faith, thanking God that it's coming to pass. And of course, we're going to go to Mark 11:24, and you already know what that says. Therefore, saying to you, whatsoever things you desire, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Okay. Now, secondly, first you believe for that harvest. Secondly, you bind every demonic spirit in the name of Jesus from stealing and killing and destroying your harvest. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. All right. A farmer, he makes sure that his crop is protected from disease and all kinds of things. If there's not enough water coming down from the sky, then he has to irrigate. He has to bring water. He has to make sure that all the pests or insects or whatever that would eat up the harvest. I know my grandpa was always, with his cotton, he was always concerned about Mr. Boll Weevil. Because if Mr. Boll Weevil got in a field of cotton, you're in trouble. Because it don't take very long for it to take over the whole field. You got to do the things necessary to prevent that. Now, thirdly, the third thing you have to do is loose the angels to cause the harvest to come to you. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Now, this is the threefold strategy to obtain finances using your spiritual authority. Now, unless you learn to use your spiritual authority in the area of finances, you will not prosper financially to the degree that God wants you to. You know? Now, see, the three spiritual steps are these. Now, I know that Dad would say, and I picked it up from him, and I think my kids have picked it up, and others that picked it to travel with him picked him up. He would always say, he'd pray about his harvest on his finances, what he was giving. And he would say, ministering spirits, go and cause the finances to come. How many ever heard him say that? I know some of you have heard him say that. And that's an important part of this, is to put the ministering spirits out there. See, now, that's the spiritual side, okay? You got the spirit. Now there are some natural things that you have to do. See, once you've done the spiritual things, then you get busy doing the natural things. Now the problem is that many people get involved with the spiritual part of giving, but they never do anything about the natural part. Come on now. It says God will bless what you set your hand to. Now, some people's prosperity and some people's harvest will come through the job that God has given them, through advancements, raises, bonuses, all kinds of different things. See, the bottom line is this. In order to prosper God's way, you have to do some things in the spiritual, and then you must do what you need to do in the natural. All right? Now, I am going to talk about the natural part, because most of you have heard all of them people talking to you about the spirit. Give and it shall be given. And all, they go on all of the deal and so forth and so on. And there are many people that are giving, but they are still in a mess financially. And they say, well, I'm believing God. And they say, I'm thanking God for this. And I've sent the ministering spirits out. But I'm still on the bottom of the barrel, really, or maybe under the barrel. You know, anybody ever felt like that financially? You know, you just wasn't scraping bottom. You was under the bottom trying to, you was scratching the bottom of. You were so far down. But the problem is that as people talk about prosperity and finances, they never talk to the people about their responsibility in the natural. Oh, and y'all are quiet now because you got to do something. Oh, I want God to do it all. Well, God can only do his part when you do your part. So, to walk in the blessings of God, you must wisely manage the harvest that God gives you. Four basic areas you need to pay attention to in ministering your, in managing your finances. Four basic areas. Having a savings account, dealing wisely with debt, taking care of your taxes, and making wise investments. That's four basic areas that you need to pay attention to in managing finances. Now, what is savings? It is positive management action that helps you to prepare for tomorrow. They say that there is only a small percentage of people, if you go check, that have any type of savings account or any type of investments. And the reason that most people, and I'll say I'm a little ahead of myself, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it now. The reason most people don't have any investments is because, well, I don't have a bunch to invest. Neither did the guy that's got a bunch when he started. You have to start with what you have, whether it's small or large. Okay? Now, let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 22:3. And I'm going to read this from New King James, the NLT, and the Message. Okay? Proverbs 23:3. Proverbs 23:3. Now, I'm just teaching, just doing some good, this is good pastoral teaching. And if you get a hold of what I've been teaching you, it'll work for you. Okay, 22:3. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The NLT says it like this. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precaution. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. The Message Bible says a prudent person sees trouble coming and ducks. A simpleton walks in blindly and is clobbered. Actually, savings is the way you pay yourself. Savings is the financial margin you need. Savings will safeguard your possession and your investments. So, if we're going to manage what God gives us wisely so we'll have more to give, number one, we need to have some type of savings. Years and years ago, I did a deal where I said at the ministry, save 80% and run the ministry on 20%. I got it back. Hey, yeah, run the ministry on 80% and try to save 20%. And yeah, I got it backwards. Thank you, hon. I'm thinking too far ahead now. Now, have we been able to do that? No, but it's a goal that we set. And because you realize that a ministry back then, we didn't have the church. We run simply on gifts, and we still do. And you never know how much is going to come out. A business pretty well can figure out how much is going to come in each month. But a church has, I don't know how much offerings y'all going to give each week. But you know what? The bills remain the same whether we get a big offering or a small offering. So, and this is what you need to have. Part of that savings that you put back is to help you whenever you come up short, you can reach back over and get a little bit of that and use it and then re-put it in there. You know, do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? See, you can give all you want to, but if you don't manage your finances correctly, you're still going to be scraping the bottom. And this is the problem that I have with some of these people is they talk about prosperity, but all they ever talk about is give it and you can get it and you get it and you get it. Well, hey, once you get it, are you managing it properly? If you don't manage it properly, you're going to be broke all the time. Now, some of you look at me sort of funny, but how many of you have heard people talking on prosperity have ever talked about your part in managing it? I haven't. Now, if you take some of these courses that these guys have, Ramsey, you know, Dave Ramsey course. Now, he talks about this stuff. Am I right or wrong? But you see, when people talk about prosperity, they get everybody excited about giving, and they give, and sometimes it's because they want to get the money themselves. I'm just saying that, okay? I didn't say it's all the time. I said sometimes. But they never talk to those people about when you get a return on what you did, you got to manage it properly or you're going to still be broke. Okay, secondly, you have to manage your debt. Debt means don't spend more than you've got. Manage your debt correctly in order to prosper. Proverbs 22:7. The rich rules over the poor and the borrower is a servant to the lender. Now, debt makes a servant, makes you a servant to the lender, and it can limit what you can give to God. Now, I didn't say it was wrong to borrow money, because it's not, if you manage properly. Somebody said, well, the Bible says, don't owe any man anything. Mm-mm, doesn't say that. It says, don't owe any man anything but love. Then you say, well, that's what it said. Well, go read what the chapter's about. The chapter's about loving people. The chapter's about don't owe any man but love. Now I'm going to talk about this, and I hope I don't get some people all upset, but I'm going to do it anyway. Okay? There's different kinds of debt. There's good debt and bad debt. See, there's home mortgages, vehicle loans, business loans, credit card debt. That's one you don't need unless you pay it off each month. You need wisdom in dealing with debt. Now, there are some times that you go along and, like we're building this building here, we're not borrowing any money. When we built this building, we had to borrow money. But this building's paid off. We managed wisely. And we paid off. Our aircraft is paid off now. But we could have never bought that aircraft if we hadn't used the other fellow's money. But you got to be wise in your debt so that your debt is not more than you can pay for. Come on now. See, deal with debt according to biblical principles. Proverbs has a lot to say about these management principles. You might want to read it. Now, you need to deal with debt according to your temperament. Some people can have debt and repay it with no problems. Other people can't handle it, and all they do is just continue to dig a financial pit that they're never going to get out of. You know? It's real easy to reach in your pocket and grab that credit card. But let me tell you a little secret. Don't reach in your pocket and grab that pet credit card if you can't pay it off. If you want to get out of credit card debt, and you need to, actually you need to get out of all debt, but you have to set up a plan to do it. If you want to get out of credit card debt, take your credit cards, put a rubber band around them, and put them in a drawer. Okay? And only spend cash. If you don't have cash, you don't buy it. I'm just telling you, I'm telling you about how to manage your money that God gives you. He wants you to give. He tells you to give. But when you give, then you've got to manage that when it comes back to you. Anybody understand what I'm saying to you this morning? You know, deal with debt according to your financial ability, your knowledge, and your ability to handle it. You know, make getting out of debt a priority. Set up a financial plan to get out of debt. If you have a certain, some credit card, a significant credit card debt, and you're paying the minimum payment, you will never, ever pay that off. And that's what the credit card company wants, because that's the way they make their money. I know one time we just took our credit cards, we put them in a drawer, we didn't use them, and we just started, we paid those things. And once you get one paid off, oh, I got some extra money. So, no, you don't. You take that extra money, you put it on a payment to the other card until you get them all paid off. And then only use them if you can pay it off at the end of the month. Now, most people cannot pay cash for a house. Somebody said, "Well, I don't want to buy a house till I get cash money to pay for it." Well, did you know what? You're making a rent payment every month to somebody, and somebody making money off of you. When if you can afford to get a house, then you're making money for yourself, because every month when you pay that mortgage, you are building equity in that house. So you instead of padding somebody else's pocket, pad your own pocket. Come on now. Well, I want this kind of house. Start small and sell and buy again. That's the way you do it. Somebody said, "Well, I want a new car." Well, if you don't have no car at all, start with what they call now pre-owned. We used to call them used cars. How many remember when they used to be? Now they're pre-owned cars. Sounds better, doesn't it? What I'm talking about is managing it, this thing. Manage your debt. You know, don't let debt rule your life. Come on now, don't look at me like that. Somebody said, "Well, you're not teaching nothing spiritual." Yes, I am. I'm teaching you how to manage what you have given to God in a spiritual atmosphere, and now he's gives back to you. I'm trying to teach you how to manage it in the natural. I don't have time to go into, I'm just hitting high spots. If I had time to go into this, I can do it. You know, somebody was saying, I don't know whether this is true or not, that most people don't even work on a budget. They just live from paycheck to paycheck. They haven't even bothered to sit down and write up a budget and see how much they actually owe and how much is coming in. They just live, you know. You need to have a budget that you work on and only spend, and Ramsey teaches this, only spend so much money. And there's a lot of people, let me tell you this, managing debt. People going out and they go to McDonald's and put it on a credit card. That's not wise management. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you today. I'm trying to help you, okay? Anybody get anything out of this? You know, when we were working on getting out of debt, I get my paycheck comes once a month. That's the way I've always done it for all my life, all these years in the ministry. And we would go to the grocery store with a list, and we would buy groceries, and we never went back to the grocery store for anything except some milk and bread. I don't care if we got down to the end of the month and what was left, that's not what we wanted to eat. We ate it anyway. To this day, and Rich is back there, he'll tell you this. To this day, I will not... In fact, we're leaving this afternoon to go to Nashville to start a crusade. Y'all pray for us. The whole crusade's going there. We got a crusade team. But they will tell you, the crusade team will tell you that I talk to them and tell them all the time, don't waste your money putting it in that pop machine. You can go to the store. Don't go to a convenience store because they charge. Go to a regular store and you, for what you will pay in that machine, you can buy six Cokes. I never use room service at a hotel because they charge you extra price and then you got to give that guy a tip when he gets there anyway. Come on. These are things that you can do to save money. Now that, you know, we've always been pretty prudent with our money. And the other day, Lynette said, "Man, that's expensive." I said, there was a time, yeah, we wouldn't have done this, but thank God God's blessed us and we've managed our money. I can afford to get this. Come on. How many understand what I'm saying to you? You got to be, don't, if you're not careful, debt will rule your life. Now, is it easy to get out of debt? No, it won't be easy to get out of debt. But boy, will you feel good when you get there. Now, don't, you know, people go on diets and lose weight, and then they get right back in the same position. I have seen people take the principles and manage their debt, get out of debt, and then it's not 6 months and they're back in debt again because they went back to the old ways rather than staying with this over here, the new ways. How many have you ever seen people do that? Man, if I'm going to go to the problem of losing weight, I can guarantee you I'm not gonna suffer through all of that and then put it all back on. But that's the way people do with debt. I've seen them do it. Seen them, not my immediate family, but some of my, you know, others that are in, I guess you call them extended family or something, cousins and so forth, uncles and all that kind of stuff. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't let debt rule your life. Now say this with me. There's nothing wrong with debt as long as you manage it properly. Come on. All right. Now, do you understand that there are some people that have ignored their taxes? Christian people. I run into them. I mean, don't be ignorant about this. The Bible says in Romans 13:7, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. NIV says it like this, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. You know, that's very simple. Okay? Now, follow, you know, that's just simple. We have to pay our taxes. Hello. There's some businesses that do not do that. The law says if you have a certain number of employees working for you, you're supposed to do this and do that and do the other. Hey, that's what the Bible says. In fact, Jesus himself said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And give to God what belongs to God. Now, follow the principles of wisdom in making investments. Get expert advice. Not Cousin Johnny that thinks that he knows something about it. There are no get rich quick schemes. Every get-rich-quick deal that I've seen come down the pike is only advantage to the guy that's promoting it. The guy underneath never sees anything. How many of y'all ever seen some of that stuff? Oh, invest in this stock. It's going to explode. It's just cheap. It's going to explode. Yeah, it's going to explode on you. Ecclesiastes 11:2 says, in the New Living Translation, divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risks might lie ahead. See, in all areas of finances, you've got to manage it. It's important that you tap into those with expertise here in investments and all of your management. CPAs, financial planners, investment advisors, a good banker, a loan officer, you know. I have relations with the bank. I know the president, so forth and so on. Then besides that, my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, is the president of M1 Bank Shares in Dallas, Texas. I can always, we're always calling, and she'll call, Gary, what about this? Why? Because that's what he does. I don't think you become the president of 16 banks just because you decided you was going to be the president. You got to have some kind of financial wisdom. I tap into that wisdom. But you know what he does? If some churches or ministers come into the bank and want to do some business, he called Lynette and said, Lynette, you know about this church? You know about this person? Why? Because that's our area. I mean, understand what I'm saying to you. Sometimes if you just think and use your head, hello. We need to walk in the harvest that God gives you. How many of you have given to God, did the spiritual side of it, and God gave you a harvest? Now, it's up to you to manage that harvest properly. That's the natural side. Have you ever noticed in the Word of God that there's always a natural side and a spiritual side to most everything? How many ever noticed that? How many of you noticed in the Word of God it says, if you do this, 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 then God does this? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. See, to walk in the blessings, you got to know how to manage finances, which is the natural part of walking in the blessings that God. Now, I want to talk about another area of financial fitness that we have to deal with. And of course, we're going to deal with this side. Walking in God's blessing, you must distribute a portion of your harvest as the Lord directs. Okay, we already know that we're supposed to give 10%. That's the tithe. Now, we need to realize that in 1 Timothy 6:17, 18 and 19, I'm going to read it from the message because it's tell those rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves, so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell them to go after God who piles on riches all the riches we could ever manage. To do good, to be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. If they do that, they will build a treasury that will last and gain in gaining life. Now, here, I'm not talking about millionaires and billionaires. I'm talking about people that God has given a full supply to. You need to give. Become a distributor or a giver. You know, it says be extravagant. Now, that doesn't mean go off the deep end. But you see, there's a lot more to giving, to receiving blessings from God than just giving in the offering plate. Now, we need that. We have to have it if we're going to keep the church open. Okay? But there's such a thing as seeing somebody at a restaurant and buying their meal. That's another area of giving. Another area is when you know that someone is in need and you shake their hand and leave money in their hand. That's another way of giving of your harvest. Hello? See, there's some people that they won't give unless they can get credit for it. Whoever heard this Bible talks about giving to those in need, whether you get credit for it or not. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting a tax receipt and so forth and so on, but I'm not even concerned about that when I give offerings a lot of times. Sometimes an offering bucket goes by, I just put cash money in, don't fill out no envelope or no nothing. Hello? Now, I'm not telling you that you shouldn't take advantage of getting deductions, but there's sometimes that you need to bless somebody whether you get anything at the moment from it or not. See, that's part of being a giver. See, some people only put being a giver to what you give at the church. Boy, y'all are quiet now, aren't you? But being a giver is somebody that gives, financially gives to people. Financially, goes over and helps somebody in need that needs something, that needs a, if you got a pickup and they need a pickup to move some stuff, you do that. You go help somebody else. That's all part of giving. Distributing what God gives to you. Become a pipeline. See, when you are a distributor or a giver, on one hand, you receive the blessings of God. On the other hand, you give blessings away. And thereby becoming a pipeline, God's giving it to you. You're managing it properly. You got yourself in good financial position and you're passing it on. There's a saying that goes, if God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. The problem is that the reason that some people are not receiving is because anymore, and because once they got it, it stopped there. It didn't have no outflow. Let me wrap this up. In a nutshell, what have I talked about this morning? In a nutshell, let's go back. Possess the harvest that God gives you. Wisely manage that the harvest that God has given you. And distribute or give a portion of the harvest that God gives you. Did any of this make sense to any of y'all this morning? Thank God for the 25 people that I got through to today. Now I realize there's some of you that are already doing this, but you need to be reminded of it. Actually, we need to remind ourselves all the time about managing our finances. How many people in here, I know we have people that work in the financial field. How many people in here that work in the financial field would agree with what I said this morning? I see some of them over here raising their hands. I know Jerome over there, he works in that field. And, you know, there's Craig, he's a CPA. I mean, he's an accountant. Never go ahead and go to the CPA that far, but he could have if he wanted to. There's Don. He's in. Do y'all agree with what I said this morning? Huh? Wave at me if you do. I know both them boys work in that area. How many others in here, you have used some of these principles and you agree with what the pastor's saying this morning? It works. Some of you are where you are today because you started managing what God gave you properly. Yeah. And now you are way ahead of where you was 5 years ago. You see, this is the portion, and I don't know about you, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but I hear people all the time talking about prosperity, give, 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 give. How many of you do that? How many of you have ever heard any of those talking in prosperity, give, give, give? Have you ever heard them talk about this stuff that I talked to you about today? But do you know what? You can give till you're blue in the face and you receive back. If you don't manage it properly, you're still going to be in the same spot you are right now. Heavenly Father, I've talked to these people for four times on financial fitness the way I believe that it should be done, according to the Word of God. I pray that you'd help people and manage their finances so that they can continue to give more to you. Because we know the more we come in line with your word concerning this, the more that you will pour out unto us the blessings. Help us to get in the right frame of mind and manage properly. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Did anybody get anything out of this today? Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Now I realize that I have, bow your heads please. I never like to have a service. I realize I haven't preached about salvation, but you can't get in line with God's laws concerning financial fitness if you don't know Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, or you're here today and you need to rededicate your life, or you're here and you go to church but you don't know whether you've ever accepted Christ or not as your Savior, I want to pray for you and with you. If that's you on any one of those, let me see your hand anywhere in this room right now. Anybody anywhere in this room, you need Christ, you need to rededicate your life, you need an Oso experience with God, anybody anywhere. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.